You're listening to CJLO 1690 AM.
CJLO News. This is Ahmed Mushtahid. More than 100 protesters joined a climate change demonstration in downtown Montreal outside Place du Canada. Blocking traffic during the height of the afternoon rush hour, protesters refused to move to the sidewalk when told by police. This prompted the arrest of about 40 people. The demonstration was part of a series of protests Extinction Rebellion has staged this week. Extinction Rebellion is a climate change activist group which formed in the UK in October 2018. The group says achieving climate justice will require continued massive political action. Another protest linked to Extinction Rebellion happened earlier this week at the Jacques Cartier Bridge. According to CBC, three people from the group climbed the bridge in a protest, which prompted provincial police to close the structure off to traffic. A Syrian family says it is shutting down its Toronto restaurant after receiving death threats. The Al-Soufi family, owners of Soufi's restaurant located in downtown Toronto, said in a statement that the magnitude of hate they are facing is overwhelming. The messages of hate and death threats sent to the restaurant started last week when the owners confirmed on Facebook that a member of their family had been involved in a protest at a Maxime Bernier speaking event at Mohawk College in Hamilton on September 29. In a video that went viral, protesters at the event could be seen blocking people from entering the building and harassing an elderly couple. A since-deleted Facebook post from the Syrian restaurant expressed sincere regret about the situation that occurred. The first to comment on the restaurant closure was Justin Trudeau, who commented, quote, "Hatred and threats of violence have no place in Canada. We are always stronger together than when we're divided." In international news, Syrian and Turkish forces have begun a military offensive against the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces. At least two civilians have died after Turkish warplanes bombed parts of northeastern Syria, according to the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces. The offensive was launched just days after President Donald Trump withdrew U.S. troops from the border area. Turkey's president said the operation was to create a, quote, safe zone cleared of Kurdish militias. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
CJLO is a college community radio station broadcasting out of the Loyola campus of Concordia University in Montreal, Quebec. We broadcast at 1690 kHz on the AM dial and have a transmitter with 1000 watts of power. The views expressed on air do not reflect CJLO. Any views expressed during a show are those of the DJ and not of the station as a whole or its management. If you would like to find out more, please visit our website at cjlo.com. Thanks for your support and keep listening to CJLO 1690 AM, Montreal's underground radio.
See! Welcome to the Culture Guys. Just so Johnny Del Colli this week. Adriano's a bit late. Classic 105 excuse.
We were going to blame the STM once again for his tardiness.
No.
This time it's Adrian? All right.
If there's an error with anything in life, Johnny.
Yes.
The first time, you could excuse it on the technology, the bus driver, the traffic. The second time, there's a user error somewhere. You know what my dad always says?
You have to reload the program. User error found.
You know what my dad always says whenever there's a problem, computer?
What does Zio say?
The problem
the is classic between, Tonyisms. Let's go.
Is between the computer and the chair. Put yourself between the... I mean, who's between the computer and the chair?
The man. It's you. Woman. The person.
So are we going to rip Adriano once he comes in?
A little bit. I don't want to get him too pissed off or he's going to slam his fist on on the table once again.
Actually, not much happening this week. Pretty much one game to talk about. We're going to have Gigio Longo join us at 2:30 from Roma Club Philadelphia.
Hey, finally.
To talk about the Azzurri first and then Roma, because I know members from Roma Club Philly, Milan Club Philly, and Napoli Club Philly got together.
Wow.
United forces to watch.
That's nice. Azzurri. Hey, Philadelphia's about like a 9-hour drive. We should go one day.
You've never been?
I've never been to Philly. I've been to Pittsburgh 3 times. I've never been to Philly.
It's a nice city. I went once.
Definitely. I it's on my list to visit, especially for how close it is.
In 2010, it reminds me a bit of Montreal.
Oh, yeah. It's a very vintage town.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit. It's a rough city, I find. You could tell by anything in the media. People aren't teddy bears there.
No, but I mean, it's a city of brotherly love.
But in another city in the world that's known for its history, Rome. You're not wearing a nice Rome shirt.
Yes, Johnny. I am. I'm wearing my Totti shirt today.
Italy came out with the win against Greece.
Beautiful win.
The Greeks go to Rome and lose. Haven't we heard that story before?
Many times in its history.
And Jorginho scored the first goal. Classic 10. The commentator actually called it perfectly.
Jorginho normally takes these penalties literally in his stride. The hop, a skip, a jump, a goal, a penalty. Major stride for Italy. It's been a long time coming, but they get their breakthrough.
In his entire career, I have the stat up here. In his entire career, Jorginho has only missed one penalty shot.
And that's
overall. He's got out of 16 attempts, he's missed once.
Does that include?
It includes every single levels. Competition: Serie A, Champions League, qualifying, Coppa Italia, Premier League, everything under the sun.
Does that include the times he played on the streets with his friends?
No, unfortunately, I don't have that far.
We have to get those stats.
Yeah, but that's pretty impressive. Out of 16 attempts in terms of major competition, only one miss. So.
Pretty clinical, if you ask me.
Yep.
But, I mean, when you're a goalkeeper coming up against Jorginho, when he takes a penalty, you know he's going to do that hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, definitely. So you don't bite on the first movement.
But then it's all about guessing.
Yeah, but that's every penalty shot. And so now, Jorginho, if I'm not mistaken, is a left-footed player. Correct me if I'm wrong. Please do. I think he's left-footed.
I think he's right, actually.
Let me double-check this.
I'm trying to visualize the goal.
Hold on. I'm looking it up as we speak. I don't know why my brain's thinking left, but my brain sometimes is wrong because it doesn't function
properly. Is it broken, Johnny?
Sometimes it breaks down. No, he's right-footed. There we go. I was mistaken. So anyways, so he's a right-footed shot. Usually when a player is coming in with a right-footed shot, you got to think he's going for his opposite corner, so it would be the left corner. So as a goalie, you jump. Like if I was a keeper, you have to take a guess. You have a 1 out of 3 guess. And even at that, when you guess in the right direction, sometimes a shot's too hard for you to stop it, or sometimes it's too slow. You just got to take the guess in the direction. And usually I feel like as if it goes, players tend to go in the direction of their opposite foot.
Yeah, sometimes you're pulling it. Because that's actually harder to do, obviously.
But it just tends to be the norm because the way your body's angled when you take the shot.
Yeah.
Unless you're just diving it straight down the middle. But anyways, that's getting a bit off a big tangent here. But Jorginho, 15 goals out of 16 attempts is damn impressive.
Yeah, and moving forward, I don't see why he wouldn't take penalties for Italy.
Nope.
And then I was surprised about this goal. Federico Bernardeschi actually scored for Italy.
I know. I have to give props to the guy. I still would pick Chiesa over Bernadeschi, but in terms of debates that we've had before. But the guy stepped up with Chiesa's injury.
Well, if Bernadeschi came on for Chiesa and Bernadeschi scores.
Okay, well, listen.
Does that mean Chiesa scores? No.
No, I mean, no, it means Bernadeschi scores.
I know, Jenny.
But yeah, we lost Chiesa early on. I think it was like around the 15th minute. It was really early in the game, and it seemed to be like a little nagging injury because he was immediately pulled right away. Like, it wasn't even like as if he got contacted by a Greek player. It was just like a weird thing. I think his foot hit the ground or something. He was limping a bit. Mancini did the swap. Bernadeschi came in, and Bernadeschi himself is a dynamic winger as well. And you know what? Good for him. I think that's like his third goal in these qualifiers, second or third?
That I don't know.
Okay, I have to double check that. But anyways, rose to the occasion when we needed him to, so I have to give Bernadeschi full props on that.
Bonucci shoots, is the cry. Oh, keeper completely lost the flight of that. And that is a major goal for Italy. Bernadeschi.
And I actually saw a tweet, Gianni, lost in translation, of Federico Chiesa.
Mm-hmm.
He got injured, so it's an English news site that translated an Italian article. Mm-hmm. We all know what Chiesa means.
Yes, of course.
In English. Church.
Yes.
And so the headline is, Italy, Mancini quotes, Church and D'Ambrosio at home. Bernadeschi could give more. So there you go. Church is going home. And then I saw a reply to the tweet. Other players' names who have literal translations in English. Nicolò Barella means stretcher. Immobile could either mean motionless or a building.
Pretty much.
Chiesa church.
Yep.
You know what acerbi means?
Actually, no, I do not.
It means unripe. That's what acerbi means.
Oh, and, that's interesting.
And acerbi, a plural, just means unripe fruits, I guess.
Probably.
And then mancini means left-handed.
Yeah.
So
Mancini. Well, mane, but the chini part
mancino
is
mancino means left-handed, so mancini means many people left-handed.
Because I see the first half that worried, but the chino at the end, or chini, just confuses me. But anyways.
Yeah, well, just plural. But anyways, Italy gets to the Euros. I think we're all happy about that.
Definitely.
And they're actually going to play 3 games in Rome come June.
Mm-hmm.
You look confused. You know.
No, I'm listening.
You knew about that.
Yeah.
You knew about that. So it's kind of fitting that they actually won in Rome to qualify their spot in the Euros.
Yeah.
To play in Rome come June, on June 12th.
So, but they're not guaranteed a home opener yet.
No,
they're not. They're guaranteed the Euro Cup opener.
Yeah.
So they're playing the first game of those. Okay, that's what I'm confused on.
June 12th, 9 p.m.
Okay, because I knew the opening game was in Rome. I wasn't sure if they were guaranteed that game.
Yeah, they are, because obviously how it works, every group gets assigned 2 hosts this year.
Yeah.
If both teams make it, so the hosts are guaranteed 2 games at home in the group stage. When both hosts make it,
yeah,
the third game is decided by a draw, or different circumstances. Mm-hmm. Circumstances. Italy's group A, gets drawn with Baku, Azerbaijan. They have 1 point in qualifying. They're mm-hmm. not going to make it. Italy's safe. 3 games in Rome, June 12th, June 17th, June 21st. Any early expectations?
Going into the Euro? This is not a tested squad. That's the only thing that worries me right now. The Italy's qualifying group, their biggest competition was, you could probably argue, the Greeks. I mean, and Bosnia and Herzegovina. So you can't really think that this is a team that played against strong teams and your solidified squad. They haven't been bent into pressure yet. And I think that come the big competition, if they get put into an easy group, they might have that same feeling again, like that it should be fine because they're naturally talented. But when you're playing against the Belgians, the Germans, we have to say Poland themselves are qualified too. Yeah, they're getting up there. Congrats to Ukraine yesterday for beating Portugal and qualifying a 10-man Ukraine. I think they only got to the 10th man after they scored their second goal, though, I believe. But you have to give props to Shevchenko himself. Anyways, long story short, the teams that are on the rise, these are the solidified teams, and Italy hasn't played against any of them, so we don't know how they're going to be.
I think, seven wins. It's not like it's four draws and four wins and three draws. It's seven wins. It's maximum points. They're playing Liechtenstein later today. Obviously the easiest group, easiest team in the group. But obviously with the home stadium advantage playing
it's
in Rome,
nice.
That's going to be a huge advantage. And I think their expectations early on is going to be to win the group. But we're going to have to cut the break, Gianni. On the other side of break, we're going to continue talking about, I guess, the Azzurri.
Yep.
Preview their game against Liechtenstein. And then injuries over the international break here on the Calcio Guys on CGO 6090.
Stop by Montreal Improv with live improvised comedy every Thursday through Sunday night. Listed as one of Cult MTL's best comedy clubs, Montreal Improv brings you a variety of unique and experimental shows featuring some of the city's funniest up-and-coming performers. You don't have to stay in the audience either. Whether you are interested in performance or trying something new, we have classes that start monthly where you can learn all the necessary skills to take you from your seat to the stage. For more information on shows and classes, visit montrealimprov.com.
Oh my god, the mall's boring and my Walkman is so grody. What am I gonna do? For your nostalgia needs and to hear all things tubular, tune in to Nosin' Around Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. on CJLO.
Excellent!
This is Matthew O'Hain from CJLO Sports and the Starting Rotation, and I know you probably don't like being told what to do, and neither do I. Now, I'm not saying or telling you to listen to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal, but 46% of people who listen to CJLO report higher life satisfaction and increased sexual activity. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Your life is in...
It's confirmed. Italy will be in the European Championship next summer. A perfect 7 out of 7.
I was going to say your life is in a better standing if you listen to the Calcio Guys.
No.
On CJO 1690 with Gianni Della Colli. I'm Nicholas DiGiovanni. Adriano is still late.
Yes, he's still not here. This is later than he usually is.
If he was a soccer player, Adriano, his team would have to start with 10 men every single game.
Pretty much.
But you heard their final call against Greece, so Italy plays Liechtenstein today. Do you have the starting lineup?
I have a probable lineup. I don't have the starting lineup yet. I think the starting lineup has
been... I know the Azzurri released it on Twitter. Let me just pull that up.
I have a probable lineup. I don't know if I should start saying it and wait for you to find
ten,
it.
10 new starters. Okay, so we got Vincenzo Grifo, Belotti, Bernardeschi, Zaniolo, Cristante, Verratti, Baraghi, Romagnoli, Mancini, Di Lorenzo, and City Go Nets.
Yeah.
Pretty young team. Moving forward, I think this is what Italy has to focus on. If you're Roberto Mancini,
yeah,
do you treat these remaining games against Armenia and Bosnia next match day, including this one against Liechtenstein, as friendlies?
Yes and no. They're still qualifying games, so they're still somewhat competitive. What are our remaining games, actually?
So Liechtenstein, Bosnia, and Armenia.
I'm looking at the point standings here. Yeah, for Armenia, it probably would be the only... Actually, no, Bosnia would be a team that would be fighting for its qualification spot. So the match against Bosnia is going to be somewhat competitive compared to the other two. So that one I don't think you should treat as a friendly. But these ones, especially Armenia and Liechtenstein, you should probably treat it as a game to experiment with your younger players. As I said last week, our back line is not getting any younger, and that's the, in my opinion, the spot where we should stress the most in testing out the younger players. Our midfield is already solidified. They're young to middle age players, so we're great. Our forwards are a mix of young and veterans, so we're great there. It's our back line where I have the question mark on right now. So if I was Mancini, I would be experimenting on the back four. Or if you want to be really defensive, which I don't suggest you do, the back five.
No.
I don't think I've seen Italy play back five in a very long time. But
I don't think they have enough center backs right now to
solidify. I think in Euro 2016 against Germany, they played a back five.
Well, that was Conte. Did he go of a back three. It was a 3-5-2.
It was a 3-5-2, but the two of the mids on the wing, they just kind of stayed back. But anyways, I digress. I think these are the Liechtenstein and Armenia games are the games where you play around with your defense, and if you want to test out some of your forwards to see who you're going to put as your starters, sure, Because like I said, our mids already solidified. There's no question who's going to be starting three. It's going to be Sensi, Verratti, and Jorginho.
I think they're going to look at definitely who is going to replace them as subs, who's going to be those depth midfielders like Pellegrini, possibly Cristante. Who else is there? You could have Zaniolo too.
Yeah, definitely.
But possibly Tonali, even though he's not.
Tonali, I think, is still somewhat inexperienced. You should give him a bit more time in Serie A. Just to bring him up, just to see the action, I think that's beneficial for him. I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make the final roster. I wouldn't say it's, I'm not discrediting him. I'm just saying maybe he's too inexperienced. Even guys like Zaniolo, as much as I love Zaniolo, I still think he's still, even though he's already had like a bit of a, like a half a season, a season almost in Serie A, he's still not seen enough top level play in order to feel like as if he's ready to handle it. Unless, I don't know, if they want to prove me wrong, by all means. I'm not the coach, but that's just my personal opinion. But I think they're, those are the two guys that, in terms of mid, I don't see making the final roster.
And looking forward, at least for the next round of games, so this time Chiesa gets hurt, D'Ambrosio gets hurt.
Yeah.
Looking elsewhere, Lukaku was already hurt, Zapata got hurt with Colombia, Sanchez got hurt too. Do you think coaches now, in the Serie A, that Italy qualified, they have almost nothing left to play for except for finishing the top six of the number one seeds, have pot one come draw. Do you think some of the coaches and management around the Serie A are going to tell Mancini, hey, look, this guy's a bit banged up, don't take him? Or if there's any sort of knock in the week leading up to the international break, they're going to tell their guy or they're going to tell their trainers, hey, he's injured. Make sure he doesn't go on international duty. Do you think that's going to happen?
It actually has to depend on the manager themselves. For example, in the case like Verratti, I don't. If he were to have like let's say a little, I guess a little nagging little pain or injury, I don't think PSG would see it, would send him because PSG doesn't really care for the Italian league itself. But in terms of players in the local market. It has to depend on the depth of the team. It's hard to say. If it's a player who is a key role, well, obviously they're all national team players. They obviously all have key roles on the team. But if they're not, if they're players that cannot be replaced at the time, I don't see them being let go. But in the end, I mean, if the player doesn't have any injuries and the player wants to go, I think they should just go. I don't think they're going to be held back.
I think there's going to be a lot of suspicious injuries.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be definitely, oh, it has a little nagging pinky toe injury.
Especially considering it's nothing left to play for. And I'm sure Eden Dzeko and Miralem Pjanic are going to tell their Italian teammates from Rome and Juventus, hey, you're hurt. You shouldn't be playing. Hey, I heard that guy's hurt. Make sure he doesn't go play against us because we want to qualify.
Well, I mean,
when Bosnia plays Italy,
I don't think they're gonna do the stuff like that. I think there's a camaraderie between the players, that there's a respect between the players. Guys like Pjanic and Dzeko, I think, would prefer playing against the best teammates because I think they have some kind of level of mutual respect. But if a player, it's a key player that gets injured or is actually not going to go because of a injury, I think themselves internally might be happy about that, but they're still gonna want to see the best possible roster to play against their team because they don't want to. I don't think any team wants to qualify because of a technicality. I don't think. Like, remember when it was a rumor like 2 years ago when Italy didn't qualify for the World Cup, but because there was an issue with Team USA,
Peru.
There was an issue with Peru, and they're like, oh wait, maybe Italy might qualify in their place, blah blah blah. And I'm like, do you guys really want to go in terms of a technicality? Is it like really the best way to qualify? So I don't think any self-respecting soccer player would be like, you know what? I'd rather go up against a very injury-riddled Italy team in order to qualify because, you know what? Screw that. You know, like they would be like, nah, I would rather play against the best team.
So Bosnia, by the way, they play Greece today, the same time that Italy plays Liechtenstein in about 20 minutes. And then November 15th, so exactly a month from now, Bosnia hosts Italy, and then they play their last game against Liechtenstein. Finland is 15 points. They have two games left against Liechtenstein and Greece. And Armenia is in there too.
Yeah.
They have, again, two games played in third place against Greece and Italy. So it's going to be tougher for Armenia to qualify. Finland with a surprise draw against Armenia. It was Armenia with a surprise draw against Liechtenstein this past weekend, which allowed Italy to qualify. And looking elsewhere, Sanchez got hurt on a tackle from Cuadrado in a Chile versus Colombia match.
Yep.
And that's something, it's a couple of months, Sanchez can be out. Inter can't be happy.
No, I think it was something that's been brewing for like a while. I think those two players have a bit of not a bone to chew at each other, but I don't know how to explain it. You know what I mean? Like I was looking up a bit of that. I saw it on Twitter, and I saw that they have a tiny history with each other in terms of not liking each other. So I don't know how to put it into words, but obviously
it's a rivalry.
But it's not really a rivalry because they haven't played against each other in terms of competition. I don't know how to explain it. Like, when I say rivalry, I think guys like Messi, Ronaldo, when I think rivalry, because it's either one or the other, and it's definite one or the other. Sanchez and Cuadrado, okay, if you want to put it as a rivalry, sure, but it's not really a rivalry. But anyways, I'm getting off topic.
I wanted to ask you, Johnny.
Yeah.
And I would have liked, maybe, I don't know, I'll bring it up. You tell me if we should wait for Adriano later on in the show after we interview Gijo from Roma Club Philly. Cristiano Ronaldo scored his 700th career goal.
Yes.
In all competitions between Portugal, Lisbon, Real Madrid, Manchester United, and Juventus. 700 career goals.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, who is the real greatest player of all time?
You're asking
on the international stage. On the international stage.
Maradona. He's won two World Cups for Argentina.
Adriano's here. Maybe we could ask him.
one of which he won on his own. I know there was that little hand of God controversy, but Maradona...
VAR would have ruled that out.
Yeah, but in terms of... Okay, if you want to talk about international stage... Sorry, my laptop's on the
wire. Because Cristiano Ronaldo carries Portugal.
No, he does, but Maradona carried Argentina to one World Cup and arguably a second. There was one that was guaranteed if Maradona was on a team, Argentina wasn't winning that championship, England would have won.
Well, if he had no right hand,
no, but
they wouldn't have won either.
No, but the second goal that he scored, he deked the entire team. Mind you, at the time, soccer defensive quality wasn't as great as it is today, but that's off topic. Maradona himself won two World Cups.
And he also eliminated Italy in 1990 at the Stadio San Paolo.
Yes.
Famously, as the Italian fans cheered for Argentina.
Well, because it was a Napoli of times, because that guy won a Europa Cup for Napoli. Well,
he was their prodigy. Yeah. He was their son.
Yeah, and I'm not big on Maradona. I'm just saying the guy himself, he can't deny it. If you want to talk about internationally, Maradona. In terms of all competition, Ronaldo. Ronaldo, whenever he goes to any team himself, he makes them win. He won championships with Man United. He won championships with Real Madrid. My memory doesn't go that far back to Lisbon, and I'm not quite sure of his history, but I'm pretty sure he won some stuff in Portugal too. And now with Juventus, he already won once. Mind you, it's Juventus. They're going to win the championship no matter what. But like that one game versus Atletico Madrid where he scored the three goals last year, like it just like that's just Ronaldo being Ronaldo.
Adri, quickly, your first, you get substituted in, you show up late. who's the GOAT on the international stage after, we're talking about this because Ronaldo scored 700 career goals.
Yeah, I mean, I think, back in time, like you said, Maradona, Pelé, those are the names that are out there. But, I mean, I think you can't disagree with what Ronaldo's done internationally. As you said, he carries Portugal. He's been in Portugal for now a number of years now, and 700 career goals, that's not something to laugh at either. So for me, I mean, love him or hate him, I would say probably Ronaldo as of now, just on top of my head, but there's also all kinds of legends of the game from past, but as of right now, I think Ronaldo.
How was the bus ride, Adri?
I don't understand, man.
A bit of traffic.
There's traffic at 2 o'clock here in Montreal. I don't understand.
People have to get places.
But where do you have? Nobody works.
I'm not working.
I know. I'm here, but I don't know.
I just came from work.
Yeah, anyways, I don't know. Traffic, red lights, buses not coming on time, so it's a bit of a mess today.
We're going to ask Gijo from Roma Club Philadelphia about soccer. Not traffic. We're going to talk about soccer, about the Azzurri, and the Giallo Rossi next on the Calcio Guys on CGO 6090.
9 out of 10 doctors recommend a steady diet of heavy metal riffs. And that last guy is a poser. So tune in to Sin After Sin, 10 p.m. every Wednesday, for your weekly dose of old-school, earth-shattering metal. Only on CJLO. Consuming riffs may cause whiplash and or liver failure. Please headbang responsibly.
A candle makes no sound. Quiet in its power. Strong enough to light the way.
Hello, this is Michael Feuerstack, and I'm here to thank you personally for listening to CJLO 1690 in Montreal.
But love is all around, drifting on the sound waves.
Talento, fortuna, esperienza, impegno, costanza, coerenza. Tra genio e follia c'è poca differenza. Hanno lo stesso punto di partenza. Ma se sei solo e ti perdi e non va come vorresti tu, non c'è un navigatore né un tutorial su YouTube. È bello se ti riconoscono, è bello se vai in TV, ma è meno bello quando sei tu che non ti riconosci più. Tutto è più facile visto dagli occhi degli altri, perché quando non sei tu che piangi, gli occhi sono meno rossi e meno grandi. Se vinci ti vogliono bene, ti fanno la ola, ti cantano un coro. La vittoria è una cosa di squadra, ma se perdi, perdi da solo. Per ogni ballerina che ha male i piedi e si medica, per ogni calciatore che risparmia per le scarpe nuove, ogni studente che non mangia si dimentica, o musicista che anche da stanco va in sala prove, per ogni sportivo, artista, regista, scrittore, fotografo, astronauta, cantante o disegnatore, se c'è riuscito uno possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore, la tua occasione, che fai, la butti?
Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
Chi ci crede chi è che ha fede è chi riesce a vincere anche senza te. Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
Se credi in quello che fai.
Chi ci crede chi è che ha fede a vincere anche senza te.
Il mondo cambia in fretta, non ti aspetta come il treno. Fai un bagaglio leggero con ciò in cui credi davvero. Gli effetti speciali stupiscono, è vero, ma i film più belli rimangono sempre quelli in bianco e nero. E non esiste un'idea stupida se sei te che ci metti la faccia. Chi dice che non ce la fai lo fa perché lui non ce l'ha fatta. Vorrebbero che pure te facessi come hanno fatto loro, ma se non lavori il tuo sogno non sarà mai il tuo lavoro. Per quella ballerina che adesso balla in teatro, il calciatore che ora gioca nella sua squadra del cuore, per ogni studente che ancora non ha mollato e trova la forza nelle parole di quella canzone. Ce n'è un milione che non abbandona e tenta ancora, che si convince che questa volta è la volta buona. Se ce n'è uno che vince possiamo farlo tutti. Il tuo sudore è la tua occasione, che fai, la butti?
Nulla è impossibile se credi in quello che fai.
That was Nulla è Impossibile from Nero Argento here on the Couch Guys on CJO 1690 with Gianni Del Colli, Gianni DiNardo. I'm Nicholas Di Giovanni, and we have Gijo from Roma Club Philadelphia on the line with us. Gijo, how's it going?
Buongiorno. Hi.
How are you?
Tutto posto, yeah.
That's good. So, as we saw on social media this week, Roma Club Philly, Azzurri Fan Phil, who was a guest on our show earlier in August, and Milan Club Philly got together to watch the Azzurri, and you were there, so can you tell us a bit about these three clubs reuniting to watch the national team?
Sure. Well, we started coming together about 4 years ago during the Euro qualifications, the European Cup. And that, you know, ended with a huge game against Germany, where all of our social networks got together and we were able to pulled together over 100 people to come watch the game at Grand Cafe. And since then, we've been able to create a great discourse in the city of Philadelphia about Serie A, where a couple of years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, if you wanted to go watch a Serie A game in a bar, no one would turn it on for you. So we have a special place here at Grand Cafe L'Aquila, where Italy, you know, Italy Liechtenstein will be on in 15 minutes. And, you know, in the morning, Roma's playing at 9 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m., it'll be on. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So it was a exciting game to get, you know, to get together. And now, you know, we're looking for the rebound, you know. I guess just to give you an idea on how deep-rooted my fandom is for the Zuri goes, I'll go back to my memory as a youth. Everyone here, we always talk about the old Zuri teams. I go back to 1982. I was 7 years old. My parents are immigrants from Italy. They moved here in 73, and my parents dressed myself and my brother up like Dino Zoff and Paolo Rossi.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
Yeah. And I don't know if you remember that was before you could buy jerseys. My parents made the shirts for us.
Wow.
So that's how rooted my Zuri passion goes. And, you know, we've connected here in Philadelphia with other people that are like that. That, you know, I've met people that, you know, I would say that, you know, the current sort of jersey market is only like 20, 30 years old. You couldn't buy Zuri shirts long ago. But there are people mm-hmm. walking in here with shirts. I'm like, whoa, where did you get that? You know, I saw there's a guy here with a Scalacci jersey. I was like, wow, that's amazing. Where did you get that? But I'd say, you know, flash forward to Saturday's game. Some are saying it was a fantastic result, especially considering all the pain that we as fans went through with not qualifying for Russia. However, I think some of us here in Philly were in the camp of negativity a little bit. I'm not sure if you know the term Negadelphia.
No. We do now.
But here in Philly, we dissect everything positive and we find the negative. So, some of us were not convinced by Mancini's side and how they played against a terrible Greece team. You know, it's languishing in the bottom of Group J. You know, it was funny watching the game because they were using some of our old playbook against us. You know, playing a Catenaccio counterattack. If you look at the first half, Italy didn't even manage a shot on target. I'm happy, but we're like negative at the same time.
So
I think some people are a little more ecstatic with the streak, but
yeah. So
I was in Montreal. Everyone is happy with the streak and how everything went.
Oh yeah, we're all pretty excited about it. It's nice to see that we've actually made a major competition since. We missed out on the last one, so it feels great. But I think our feelings are pretty much the same around you guys, where we're like, okay, great win, we're in there, but we're not fully convinced yet. But in terms of the game itself or just the team in general right now, the Azzurri, who is you think is your number one player on the team and who's your least favorite? Who do you think are going to be like the guys who are going to be like the difference maker?
Right now, my number one favorite player didn't make the squad. I was loving Quagliarella. He was you know, I thought he was a nice addition. He brought something good to the team. Who knows? Maybe some more goals would have been scored against Greece. Trying to think. Who else? What's the guy from PSG?
Verratti.
Yeah, Verratti. I thought that he really showed something in the last couple of games that he wasn't showing previously in other Euro games. He showed a lot of passion on the field. And, you know, passion's important, and he was all over the field. Something I didn't understand about some of the plays were how Verratti was playing. He seemed to be playing very deep, right? When Zola was flying up the flank. So, for me, it was a little strange watching, but I guess, you know, that was part of the tactics, was keeping Verratti back and Spinazzola, letting him play, even though, you know, he was, you know, in the fourth defender in the back. Right? Did you see that as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I thought the tactics were interesting, but I would say my least favorite, which probably wouldn't be shocking to most people, is Ciro Immobile. I just, it's not, it's, but it's not me being a Romanista and you know, I like Gialis, but I, you know, I just have to go with Chiro. I respect his play in Serie A. He's a beast. I mean, that was 7 goals in 7 games this year. But on the world stage, he's only had 1 goal in the past 2 years, like 10 games without finding the net for Italy. I mean, you know, questo non è buono. I think Mancini needs to keep his options open for 2020. You know, Belotti is off to a great start as well. 5 goals, 7 matches. If he stays in form, he might not be as much of a head case as Chiro is. You can see the international goal drought having an effect on him. You know, in all the interviews, that's all people talk about, what he talks about. Who knows? It might be too much pressure.
So going further, now that we actually are in the tournament for Euro 2020, and with this attack that I personally think is a bit lackluster, and it's probably our weakest point on the squad, any expectations that you do have for this Azzurri team going into Euro 2020, the attack, what maybe changes would you make as well?
I think we just have to see what comes up over the next couple months. Who emerges? That's why I think that you just can't put Chiro in there. Like, who's to say that Mario Balotelli doesn't find form? You know,
yeah.
Brescia.
Yeah.
He's played 2 games so far since the suspension's over. He scored 1 goal. Who knows? You know, he might explode and score 20 goals and catch fire. But I'm not saying Balotelli. You know, he's a head case too. But there might be another option out there. But I do like Mancini's tactics. I like seeing a pressing Italian offense. You know, after years of watching Catenaccio, you know, you kind of want to see some offense.
For sure.
So it was, you know, so it's kind of like, it was really, for me, it was very interesting just watching the way Spinazzola. I was like, whoa, what's he doing? Why is he running up there? You know, what's going on? You know, there are tactics on the field. Unlike, I don't want to even mention our old manager.
I respect that. Don't mention him. Don't mention him.
You know, the tactics were very lacking there, let's say.
Yeah.
So you can see that Mancini is bringing a lot to the table. It's very different. The team seems excited. They seem to be falling, you know, forward with what he wants, what he's preaching. I read a bunch of interviews that say, you know, it doesn't feel like international duty, it feels like we're playing for the club. And I found that interesting.
And so moving away from the Azzurri now, you're obviously VP of Roma Club Philadelphia. Tell us a bit how you got into your Roma passion and into this club.
So that definitely goes pretty deep. My father is from Rome, and he always had a home there. So going back to when I was a little kid, we would spend, instead of going to summer camp or the Jersey Shore, my parents, we would go to Italy for 2-3 months, you know, July, August, Ferragosto, and we would stay in Rome. And just the passion for Rome, the city, and eventually the team just overcame me. My Italia jerseys, one of my the first sweaters my parents got me was a Roma shirt that when I was like 7 years old. And then I would say like the true real passion probably kicked in. I went to school there in 96 and did 4 or 5 games at the Olimpico right when, Totti started catching on fire there. So it was some of my first, you know, my first really game, soccer games, calcio, in Italy was at Stadio Olimpico. So it's like, you know, I couldn't pick any other team. You know, my parents lived there. I went to school there. You know, when I hear people that are from Rome and they root for teams like Juve, I'm like, I don't understand. How can you not be in love with Rome? And it's like, you know. So there's a guy I know in town here. He's from Rome and he roots for Juve. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm like, how can you root for Juve? He's like, oh, my dad's a Juve fan, but your dad's from Rome too. So like the passion lies deep, and then when we started, and it was hard for a long time to really watch the games. You know, every once in a while you get a game on Rye, and then you get a game here and there, a Champions League on ESPN, you know, it's been amazing the last couple of years with BN and now especially ESPN2 that you can watch every single game. It's amazing. So now you can really follow and you really get into the games, and you can, you know, like last weekend or the weekend before, Inter Juve was playing, so you had a great game there to watch. So now it's a great time for Serie A fans, and yeah. I think it's like our time now. You know, Premier League had their time, and I think it's time for Serie A to.
So coming back to Serie A and actually closer to our team, Roma. So what's your take on the season this year?
Gianni's a Roma fan, by the way. If you don't see it. Oh. I know you don't see it. He's wearing a Roma shirt right now.
I'm wearing a Totti shirt that Nicholas got me when he went to go visit Italy. But yeah, so obviously last year we didn't have a great season. It wasn't the best of times. It was probably the worst of times. But what do you think of this year? I'm pretty hopeful. How about you?
No. I believe in what Petrarca and Fonseca are putting together. I think that there's a real quality in the players and the tactics. For me, like Fonseca checks off a lot of boxes that I want in a manager. I remember there was a couple things he said in his interview that really caught me. I don't know if he was just doing fan placating, but I was like, wow, this sounds like someone that I want in charge of the team I support. He was like, he said, the fans must go home after the game, and I hope that the team played well. And they won because they were courageous. That is very important for me. Every game, like last year, the team, when you watched the team, they didn't feel courageous. You know, when they lost to Spal last year, oh my God. Who, you know, that's not a team that is coming to play.
Unless you're Lazio, you lose to Spal all the time.
But even though last game against Cagliari, when they tied, I thought that they played well, and they played with courage. And that's, I think as a Roma fan, that's what you want. That's what you ask for. You know? What else he said? He also said something about, you know, winning is important, but getting the tactics right and playing right is important as well. And I kind of agree with that as well. So, like, the team, I feel it's young. It had a lot of potential. I mean, the one thing that is hurting the team is the injuries. It's crazy. I mean, he has a, I don't know. Can you name all the players?
Jekyll, Florenzi, Pellegrini. Who else?
Diawara.
Yeah, Perotti, Diawara, Zappacosta, Under.
Yeah.
What was it? Florenzi is out with influenza now.
What, really?
Yeah.
I did not
notice
that.
He wasn't with the national team.
Yeah, crazy. Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
I've been sleeping on that.
You'll probably be back maybe this week.
Oh, God. Okay, hopefully.
We'll see. I think Perotti's back this week. I mean, the international break could not have come at a better time. It gave given Mkhitaryan some time to get in, you know, get better. Hopefully, you know, that's two. I think they said his recovery is like 5 weeks. So the international break covers like 2 weeks of that five. So you'll only miss like three of the Campionato games.
Yeah. So, Gigio, just to wrap this up, we got a good question here from Azzurri Fan Phil on Instagram. I don't know, poking maybe a bit of fun at you or your, you know, the Napoli Roma duo there. What result are you expecting in the upcoming Roma Napoli showdown in about a couple of weeks?
You know what? Remind me, will that be at Stadio Olimpico or in São Paulo?
I believe it's at the São Paulo. If my memory serves me right,
I'm gonna
São Paulo.
I think so.
I think so too.
No, you know, Napoli is not playing that well right now. They lost the last two games, right?
Well, in Champions League and...
Well, they lost to Cagliari.
They dropped both games. They drew both games.
Yeah, they lost points in both games.
They lost points in both games, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't win. They drew both.
I am feeling that the Napoli side is starting to falter, and I'm not going to go big, bold decision. I'm going to go 1-1.
Ah, okay. Play it safe then. Playing it safe.
If you told me Stadio Olimpico, I'd go 1-0, but I'm gonna go 1-1.
Okay, it should be fun there at Gran Cafe then.
Well, anyway, keep the peace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Azzurri Fan Phil on Twitter. You know, he gets a little bantery.
Yeah, he sure does.
Anyways, thanks so much for joining us here on the Couch, guys. Gigio,
we appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Ciao.
Ciao, guy.
Bye.
Coming up next on the Calcio Guys on CGO 6090, teeing up City App Match Day 8.
Hungry? Famished? Just looking for a snack? Food Services has you covered. Operating 9 locations across both campuses, including an all-you-can-eat dining hall on each campus, meal plans are available for all students and staff, some even including free coffee all year round. So visit concordia.ca/food for more information or to purchase the right meal plan for you.
Check out Jay Nice and Lady Oracle in the Limelight every Saturday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. for underground hip-hop and R&B right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Yeah, that's CJLO. We respect the music our DJs choose to play.
Are they playing f***ing Coldplay?
How long will they wait?
CJLO!
So we actually got a text here on the Cultural Guys on CJO 6090. You could text us, 514-848-7471. Your thoughts about the Azzurri, your own clubs. And Big Mike in Rosemount says, Forza Milan, Rossoneri, great. The Azzurri qualified for Euro 2020, but they're not going to win. LOL, just like the Canadians. LOL, Forza Milan, good afternoon, gentlemen. So thanks, Big Mike.
I like that you're from Rosemount. You're a Milan fan like me, so we get along pretty well, I would think. If you are interested, definitely come and check out Milan Club Montreal and St. Leonard. We're always looking for new members and new people to cheer for our beloved Milan.
At least he's not a Juve fan. Thank
exactly.
God.
Exactly. Thank God.
I'm personally attacked here.
So shout out, Big Mike.
And Italy up 1-0 already on Liechtenstein. Bernadeschi with the goal. Berardi with the cross. Shout out to TSN Direct, by the way. I'm watching the game on my phone. Are you watching the game on your phone, Adriano?
No, I'm not.
I am. So shout out to Bell and TSN for that.
For sure.
City App Match Day 8. It's back after the international break. It's one thing I don't like about the international break. You only get one game to watch or two, depending on who you follow.
Yeah.
Versus 10 every single weekend during the season. A couple of good games. Sampdoria Roma, I think, is my game of the week because of the stories behind it. Claudio Ranieri, first game with Sampdoria against his former club. He just replaced Eusebio De Francesco at Sampdoria the same way he replaced him at Roma last year.
Exactly.
This is storylines written all over it. Lazio Atalanta is a good game. And then Sassuolo Inter. Usually you hear Sassuolo Inter, you think, okay, you know, whatever. It's a good team against mid-table team.
There's an interesting stat to that one, I see.
Yeah, and Inter all-time versus Sassuolo. So since 2013 in Serie A, 12 games, 4 wins, 7 losses. And 1 draw, and they're winless in the last 5. Sassuolo only has 2 losses at home versus Inter. They're pretty much their kryptonite. Yeah. Inter's kryptonite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have been for the Milan teams, Berardi and the Sassuolo team. I mean, De Zerbi, you know, prepares them pretty well, and they always seem to get away with a point with these Milan teams. So it's no surprise to me, but it's an interesting stat nonetheless.
So, Gianni, are you surprised Ranieri replaced you, Francesco? I mean, you saw it happen at Roma last year.
He's the king of caretakers.
Ranieri.
No, but this is a permanent contract. Yeah, he signed until 2021.
Ranieri
is, we'll see how long it lasts.
He's a solid coach. I have faith in Ranieri. I mean, he rises to the occasion when you need him to. How long was this contract that he signed for? Did it say how long the term was?
So, I think June 2021, so a year and a half.
Okay, so it's pretty good. It's a short-term replacement, because I wouldn't put him longer than 2-3 seasons. 3 seasons really pushing it, because Ranieri is that temporary solution coach, but he's not the one that's going to have that
might put you over the edge.
Yeah, put you over
unless,
the edge, or has that
unless
like
it was with Leicester City.
Yeah, but that was just like phenomenal. That was a miracle. And but that's the thing though, ever since that incident, ever since he made Leicester City win the championship in the Premier League, that's just put on his CV. No matter, he has average seasons across the board, besides that one season where he won the title. And ever since then, he can use it to his argument. Yeah, but I won the Premier League championship with Leicester City. What can you expect, you know? So that's why teams take a gamble on him. I'm not trying to knock the guy. He stepped. He's a He's a Romanista at heart. He stepped up for Roma last year when he needed him, and he did the job to help end the season. But in terms of, let's say, a longer than a 2-year, 3-year coach, I wouldn't put it on Ranieri. I think, honestly, he's just going to be a temporary solution for them.
I agree. I think Sampdoria is in a bit of a up in the air at the moment from, I think, ownership down to, you said, as to coach and the players.
They're in relegation spots, so they're in trouble.
That's what I'm saying. So I think it's from top to bottom, it's a bit of a mess at Samp, which I personally wasn't expecting, but it is what it is, and that's the situation that they got going now. But as you said, I think Ranieri can go in there and not, you know, I think he probably can save them. I would hope so, at least. But, I mean, we'll see what he can do.
Speaking about Leicester, I saw a quote today from IFTV. They posted it from Fabio Paratici, one of the directors at Juventus. He said, Atalanta could be Italy's Leicester. I wholeheartedly disagree with that, because the way the Serie A is and how it's just Juventus at the top, it's not competitive the way the Premier League is. I'm sorry, Atalanta. I don't see them winning a title anytime soon. But, they made Champions League. They did good enough for that.
But I think what he's trying to say from that is that he pins them as the team that, out of the usual suspects that that fans usually take to win the championship, he says that's probably going to be the dark horse team. And you can't disagree with, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, you can't really disagree with his way of thinking there. If you're going to take a dark horse team, like a really left field team, it's Atalanta. Because when you say who's going to win the Scudetto, huh? Psh, usual suspects, you know, Juve, Napoli. Now this year you put Inter into the conversation because they added so much.
Yeah.
So obviously that makes sense when you say that. But to pick Atalanta, it's like you're taking a gamble, because they have a great team. So this is where I see your point, because they already have a good team. But as a team that's not going to be part of the usual suspects to win, that's where he's right. Out of the other top tier teams, he's like the dark horse team.
I think, like, I mean, obviously they're the Cinderella story from last year. I mean, making it all the way to the Champions League, first time in their history. So I think, you know, there's probably pros and cons to what Paratici is saying. I think things will only change, and maybe this can come true that they could be the Leicester. Maybe once, you know, the dominance of the teams you named, the Juves, the Napolis, the Inters, kind of maybe slowed down and we kind of get a new Serie A. But I think until then, it'll probably be, as you said, those usual suspects up there at the top of the top of the league.
And so looking at some of the other games, I mean, Milan plays Lecce.
Yeah.
They have to bounce back.
Of course. First game under Pioli. I mean, there was a whole turmoil. This international break kind of, I think, maybe, you know, put some, I don't know what it is, but I think the international break came at a good time, I guess, for this coaching change. Gianpaolo out, Pioli in, even though there was that Pioli out hashtag that was trending, which I found personally ridiculous.
Immediately as he got hired.
Yeah, before he was hired, for me, it completely, you know, if I had to give a late red card, I would probably give it to that. But yeah, I mean, they definitely have to bounce back. I think Pioli can gather the troops, and I think, you know, he's a guy who can have the locker room and can get these guys, I hope, on the same page, whereas Gianpaolo, I think, couldn't. So for me, I know it's a Lecce, and I know we speak about, you know, the bigger teams against Lecce, and it's not much competition, but these are the games you have to win, and if you know you want to be a good team. So I'm expecting a win, and you know, I hope Pioli gets his first win, first game.
I know Juve plays Bologna, and then so Roma, Sampdoria. Got 2 minutes. Any predictions for that game?
For Roma Samp?
Or yeah.
Or Samp Roma, sorry.
Just that one. Do you think Roma's gonna be sucked into this whole storyline of Ranieri coaching his former team?
I think they're gonna have a bit of respect for him, and you know they're gonna pay their respects, but Roma's still gonna come to play. Like when it comes to the field, you know, you put all that aside, no matter who's manager or the player against their side, still have a job to do to win the game. Roma, their wins lately or their draws have become like fortunate events. So I think Roma should probably step up their game and start showing that they're not a team that can get results by fortunate events. They could actually get them on their own. They're starting to slip down the table a bit. Right now they're fifth. So I think they're going to be looking for a win, especially when you got Lazio breathing down their necks. So I actually picked Roma to win probably 2-1.
Quickly, Adriano, scoreline.
score. And I think they'll win. They can't deserve, you know, they don't deserve to lose, and they can't lose. So especially as Jenny said, going down the table there.
So that'll do it for us here on the Caucho Guys on CJO 690. Thanks again to Gijo from Roma Club Philadelphia.
Yeah, make sure to follow us on all our social media platforms at the Caucho Guys. Follow us on SoundCloud, Mixcloud, all the clouds for our our podcast. And we're on the road to 500 followers on both platforms. So definitely support us.
Anyways, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Ciao. I thought you were dead.